Question Christianity.
Welcome to this week's episode of Question Christianity.
Speak on it.
Just so you know, everyone who sits here are all believers in Christ, but we have questions too.
Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps.
Crazy K, Fifi, Rex. I'm your host, Jay.
Question Christianity, dating part two.
Boy, we back, man. Oh, man, oh, man. Okay, so... this is our podcast about Christianity and dating and Question Christianity. And I've got some hard questions for the ladies because, you know, we were talking off air about relationships and how men feel about women. And let's be honest, you know, the three of you, I know you personally. I know that you are extraordinary women. You know, I want to say that first before I start hammering away. But I want you to know that I have a great deal of respect for all of you. And that what you do, okay?
Thank you.
And since this is your first, Fifi, since this is your first time after Veterans Day, thank you for your service. She is also a Bronze Star awardee, so that is a rarity. So I wanted everyone to know that's the caliber of women we have at our own church. Okay. Mm-hmm. Having said that, though, you know, so
here we go.
So here's my question to you. Right. Let's all speak hypothetically, right? So, Rix, you said that your dog makes the decision on whether you will be married or not, right? Is that...
Well, not married, but if anybody, like if...
Well, if the dog doesn't accept the guys, then he's not...
Then he's out.
He's out. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even have a chance. Which, by the way, could be the greatest blessing you could ever receive.
Boomer?
No,
I agree. Right.
No, I feel like it's true. I've heard that like some animals, they can pick up on people's,
absolutely,
you know, spirits. And
they see things, something we don't see.
Yeah, some animals are also jealous. They have the same emotions that we do, you know, especially if you start attaching the same affections to someone else that was originally attached to your dog or fish or cat or whatever. But I wanted to point out to what, you know, because, so there are certain things that are biblically required of a woman that women typically, I can't even say that, that some women have issues with. Like, what did you say?
I said, where is this going?
You got to be patient. I got to work up to this. You know? So when you get married, you have to be obedient, right? You have to submit to your husband, right? And in that same token, poor Rix is getting uncomfortable. When I talk to men about that, they have to understand that when the woman submits, they're not submitting to you; they're submitting to God through you. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So can I ask you how you define it? Obedience?
Mm. Yes.
Okay.
Obedient.
Okay, any questions? Can I have an example? Can we use it in a sentence?
If you need an example, then
seriously,
you guys are, well, what's the problem?
What does obedience look like? What does an obedient wife look like?
You have to be willing to trust your husband to make many decisions and stand by him.
Okay. Yeah. So not being told what to do. You're saying roll with it.
Oh, no, no. Also being told what to do. But, you know. But does that say every day? No. But if I say, for instance, you go out and, in my opinion, you're dressed inappropriately, mm-hmm, you have to change.
Okay. Now, do you want to dig into this now or make it like another episode? I want us to stay focused.
No. This has to be, now we've skipped to the marriage point, but my point is that in order access to marriage and opportunity has always and will always rest in the man's hands.
Okay.
Whether people want to believe it or not, we if a woman asks a man to marry him, that's out of order.
I agree with
that. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's why I'm kind of old school too. That's why I think that the first date at the very least should be paid by the man, because you are the initiator. You're the one going out, because when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing.
Yes, right?
So, but Where's that good thing? Are you that good thing? Do you qualify as that good thing? And then a lot of that is simply obedience. So the problem is that men don't want to have to fight their spouse. I mean, you're going to have arguments, right? You're always going to have arguments, whether it's boyfriend and girlfriend, but you have to understand your role. His role is to lead. Yours is to follow. Now, that role may shift when your skill set will be more important, you know, will be beneficial in that situation. Mm-hmm. The man has to make the decision, like, and understand, oh, my wife or my girlfriend, she can handle that. But that man, in that same token, has to be secure in himself. So that's why I don't say that men are intimidated. I know we spoke offline that some men have an inferiority complex. That's true. There's no doubt about that, because they see themselves, they compare themselves to other men, they don't measure up. Mm-hmm. That becomes an issue in the long run, right? So, but in that same token, a good, godly man is going to expect his spouse to do as he says, which...
sit, stand, roll over.
I'll give you a prime example. My wife is terrified of dogs, okay. Right? And so... And I'm trained in hand-to-hand combat, and I served in the military myself. So I told her, at any time, if a dog comes running at us with the intent to maul us, you stand behind me. Do not run. I will kill it. Okay? So, okay. But you cannot run, because what he'll do is, mm-hmm. instead of coming at me, he's going to run after you. Mm-hmm. And then
right. I won't. Whoever's moving.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And I won't be able to. And she, what does she do? She makes up beeline. I'm like, what are you? You know, I'm so upset because the dog did exactly as I said it would.
Yeah.
And then, but the owner called the dog back, and I was just so upset at her. And she was like, I'm sorry. But I was upset with the fact that you did not listen, because my goal is to protect your life. And, you know, and I wasn't mad because you didn't do as I said, but this is what I'm talking about. You know, you have, and now her fear took over, and she, you know, that was that fight or flight kind of thing.
Yep.
I get that, you know, and she knows that I'd do anything for my family, but she understands now. So she'll be like, okay, she has to override that fear, mm-hmm. but she has to be able to trust her husband to make a decision to protect that family.
Totally. Now, thank you. That's why I was asking, like, what you meant by obedience.
I'm not saying go cook me some chicken. Well, he may say that, but you know, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, now I do. No, seriously, that's why I was asking, because I did have a visceral reaction to the word obedience. But
most Western women do. Unfortunately. Well,
but that reminds me of something that Jill Scott said one time in a Breakfast Club interview, which I totally like subscribe to. She was like, she was talking about in regards to like her man, like telling her what to do. Mm-hmm. She said, if he can tell me what to do, then he can tell me what to do. How deep is that? So like, that's exactly what you're saying. Like, so I do subscribe to that. If you can tell me what to do, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have the wherewithal, I will do it.
But that has to be your role. You can't just choose that.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't. Well, now, if you're married, no, you can't. Because
why not?
That is because your duty as a Christian woman is to obey your husband. Love and obey your husband.
Right. So that goes to making sure you pick that you're with the right mate then.
Right, 100%. But in that same token, there has to be a trust there between the two of you. So, again, you know, if I tell you to stand behind me, you have to trust me to make that decision to protect the family, that I won't be the first to run. You know, stand mm-hmm. right here so I can run this way.
Well, but I would also say, as
you'll distract them.
But I would say, as the man, but from the man's perspective, yes. Okay, if you tell me, stand behind me, I'm going to protect you, then you have to reassure me that you can protect me. Yes. So if I see mm-hmm. you as, you know, you just, you know, we squirming together. Or, you know, or if in certain situations you have proven that you have this flight syndrome, you know, then, you know, you have to let me know that I can trust you as well.
100%. I totally agree. But mm-hmm. in that same token, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, what I can say, mm-hmm. it may be controversial, but I do believe as a Christian woman that I should be submissive to my husband, but hear me all the way out. Sometimes when people hear that, because some guys take it too far, and they the first thing you think is control,
right?
Like,
right,
I control
right,
you,
right?
And again, in some Christian households, mm-hmm. it gets taken too far. Mm-hmm. But my whole thing is, I always felt like
And just even in relationships I've been in, I've always taken a role. I'll, you know, just be submissive. But again, you have to choose the correct person. Like, if I'm going to follow you, you have to be a good decision maker. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I come with that conclusion is I truly feel men and women think differently.
You know, absolutely.
I think women are naturally nurturers. Right. So when there are certain situations and certain things, we just the way our brains are wired, we look at it differently. You know, men, they're more, I don't know, analytical thinkers or what. It's not saying women aren't that way, but it's just when it comes to the core of who we are. Mm-hmm. So I always feel like, you know, if everybody kind of just stays in their roles, things flow naturally. But again, when you hear roles and submission,
sounds like trigger words. Submission didn't trigger me. It was obedience, right? And I think that's different. But I don't know, but aren't we submitting to each other?
So if you can't be obedient to your husband, what makes you think you could be obedient to God?
Because that's God.
Mm. No, there's no difference.
Oh, absolutely.
No. Because in that same token, God has always told us, he's like, look, how can you claim that you love me, a person you've never seen, when you can't even love the people that are standing right in front of you?
Well, maybe that's why you want to make sure you have a godly husband. Now, if you have a godly husband, he's reading his word, you know, he's
well, you shouldn't be married to a non-Christian, no way, if you're a believer. That's you know, so.
But a lot of people are. You know, like what?
I know.
I realize that a lot of people are.
So,
and maybe that's the issue. They end up following someone who doesn't really follow God.
Right.
And then that's when they start to have that internal mental conflict.
Right.
Like, I know I'm supposed to follow you. I know I'm supposed to obey you, but you're.
You were hard to say that word too. You're obey.
Because that word is misused, you know.
If it's used, and again, and I'm okay with being obedient, because I tell you what, when you're at work, your butt better be obedient to the boss, right? And a lot of times you can't say nothing about it. You know, but here's my thing, you know, we are submissive and obedient in certain circumstances, and then others they're not. You know, because there are people, I've talked to many women, and I had to let them know. I was like, well, you are only obedient when you agree with the decision, you know, and that's the key,
yep.
You know, because you have to be obedient whether you believe it and whether you agree or not. And that is the hardest thing for anyone to do. But that's where that trust in that other individual comes in. That's where that God, the Lord's light should shine through that man. You are submitting to God through the man.
Okay, then word it. Let's word it then. Let's word it like that, because I subscribe to that. Okay. Okay, come through. Come through.
So then I would say that goes back to our topic of dating. So when you're dating someone, like if you know, once I marry this person, this is my husband, and you know, I'm submissive and I'm obedient. So in dating, you have to make sure when you're dating, you're trying to hash all that out. Like
trial periods, right?
Yeah, the trial. Like, what's, you know, how do you handle conflict? What are you thinking? Right. Who am I following here?
Exactly.
And that's why it's so, like, this is a really good topic. No. I know Jay is like, obviously. But that's why, like, when you're a Christian and you're dating, that's why, like, it's so important to have that relationship with God so that you can say, please reveal to me everything that I'm not seeing. Like, because he will, like, you know, through, you know, his Holy Spirit, he will reveal to us what we're not seeing and what those red flags are that, you know, on surface level, we're not getting. And we're like, this is the best thing ever. Right. But when you have that belief in that, and you're walking with Christ, he can reveal to you those things that are like, mm-mm.
So some of the advice I give to young Christian women who are dating and they're not 100% sure that the guy is a believer. Mm-hmm. I just tell them, you know, do things in public. Christian things in public, like, hey, you want to hold my hand? Let's pray. Right here, right now. You know what I'm saying? So what do you want to pray about? Doesn't matter. Let's just start praying, you know? So, and that's going to indicate very clearly what kind of Christian that person is.
Yeah.
You know, is he new? See, if he's a new Christian, he ain't gonna have no problem, you know? But if he's just a summertime Christian, which is why I call him sometimes here, sometimes there, they'd be, because... A man should never be ashamed of the God that he serves.
Yeah.
Because if he's ashamed of God, he will one day be ashamed to bring you out in public. Mm-hmm. All right. So those are kind of things that I recommend women who are dating men who claim to be Christian. Because there are a lot of guys that claim to be Christian and they're
been there.
Yeah. So it is what it is. And we have to you know, like you said, you have to be discerning about it. But yes, yeah, you still have to be obedient, regardless how you slice it, because because you, it's just
that word.
Because
okay, yes, let's put obedience on the woman. What do we put it on the man?
Oh, the man has to be obedient to God, flat out.
No, okay, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying to the woman. Like, he has to be what?
The man, can he be obedient to the woman, to his wife?
But even if
you're obedient, but the role, so that was a trick question. You got me on that.
shouldn't he be a provider?
Yes, he has to be the one that I always say about being a father and a husband is you're both a shield and a sword. You're the first and last line of defense, you know? So whatever comes through that front door, you chop it up or you defend against it. Anything that falls from the bottom, anything, mm-hmm. you know, everything else, you got to catch it. And I tell that to men all the time. This is why your role is so important. That's why it's thankless. That's why, you know, why people take it for granted and all these other things. Get your butt out there. Do what you got to do for your family. I'm a firm believer of that. If there are three of you at the dinner table, there's only enough for two of you to eat, you're going to go without eating. That's just how it's got to be. Mm-hmm. Because your family must and should always come first. That is a clear sign of a good man. Now, this is where sometimes things can get kind of mixed up. I've seen many relationships, both dating and marriage, where the woman made more money. And so that became an issue because when he would tell her to do something, you're like, you only make $1.50 an hour. I'm the one who brings in the cash. Mm-hmm. Go sit down. And so now the house is out of order.
Right.
Now, women don't want to be obedient when they don't make as much money as the man. Now, if you got one that makes more and they just don't listen. They just do not listen. They feel like they don't, because they make more money, their decision-making, because it's the money issue is what determines the decision-making in the house, and that's not the case. I don't care if your wife is a millionaire. You know, she has to be willing, from a Christian perspective, to submit to her husband. A lot of times that doesn't happen, regardless of how much she makes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that becomes a problem. But for the man, you must be that sword and shield, flat out. You know, you have to, that's why our shoulders are broader. You know, we have to carry that weight, mm-hmm. not just, you know, the stuff outside, but the weight of the household, the emotional weight that we have to carry for the family also. That's what you're supposed to do. Questions?
Well, I feel like if a woman, you know, finds a man who like exhibits, you know, he's strong, like in just in everything, his personality is strong. And just, you know, I feel like it'd be easier for her to just absolutely. Relax, you know, because mm-hmm. she's like, you know what? I don't have to worry about anything. Some men out there who are just like, they got, it's almost like you can even tell by their aura, like mm-hmm. even before you talk to them, like they just mm-hmm. make sure the house is in order, you know, their wife doesn't have to worry about anything. Like, I'll mm-hmm. take out the garbage and, you know, I'm mowing the lawn and, you know, he's doing his part, you know, so to speak. He's doing his part.
Right.
And because of that, I think a natural flow happens in that relationship where, because he's doing so much, then the woman, she's like, she almost naturally feels like, I want to do more. Like, I want to make sure when mm-hmm. he comes home or when he comes out, he has food, because I know he's going to be tired. And mm-hmm. so it's just a natural thing. But I feel like when one side is selfish and they're not doing their part, then again, yeah, you end up with that imbalance. In
sure.
a sense.
100%. Mm-hmm. But in that same token, we got plenty of guys out there, and fellas, I'm talking to you. There are plenty of guys out there that are perfectly okay with women in the driver's seat, and that's not okay. You should not be sitting in the passenger seat and letting her do all the work, right? So y'all know what you need to do. Well, I had to put that out there. I'm not trying to throw guys under the bus or nothing. I'm just saying, you know, there's plenty of room for us to step up. There's plenty of room for us to step up. But back to dating. Which is what I should have said. I should have named this Christianity and Relationships. My goodness, man. So, all right. So, since Rix has an issue of being obedient, she's hard headed. So,
that is not true. Just in case there are some eligible unmarried men listening to this,
she lives at.
It's not true. I am your woman. No, I am her. Okay.
I love it. You guys, I gotta tell you, you're the best, man. This whole cast. I know we're missing. I'm the only guy on today's show, but actually, it's ironic because last week's shows were all guys.
And oh, really?
So it was almost all girls here this time. So you guys are awesome, and I greatly appreciate it. But back to the dating perspective, what is it? What's the one thing that a man can do? Let's say, for instance, he's interested in one of you. What's the one thing he can do to get a date with you? And go. One thing.
Make it clear and make it known. Like, no hints. Mm. Not a mind reader. Like, I mean, I'm intelligent, but I am slow at following hints.
Okay. Yeah. Most men are too. So
I would say
the
same.
Yeah.
You got to.
So you just have to come up, like, hey, I like you, and I want you.
And I want you, girl.
Yes.
Yeah. Because it saves you so much time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not beating around the bush.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in that same token, guys, you know, look. We, okay. So we can take rejection. We just don't like it. No one likes rejection.
Yeah.
So we have to be careful when we do approach the woman. You know, that's why we're putting the feelers out, you know, the awkward jokes and stuff like that they do.
I feel like women give lots of hints as well.
Yeah, but we don't pick up on them. You guys.
That's what I mean. So it's like.
Because remember I told you earlier, I was like, you give all the hints and we'll just give this blank stare.
Well, but sometimes.
Is there something on my face? Is that why you're waking up?
Well, sometimes we feel like we have to give hints because, you know, like some women don't want to make that first move.
Right.
And they know that, you know, they may like a certain gentleman and, you know, and he's not sure if she likes him. And, you know, so it was just. They try to throw the hints. But I think the most important thing is, like, a lot of single men just need to know that there are a lot of single women who are available, who they want the same. Just like you want to take her out, she wants to go out too. You know, it's just the guy's afraid to make the first move.
We're all just scared.
The woman's afraid. Yeah, we're all scared. So as a guy, you just got to take that risk.
So you
got to take that risk.
Now, again, I'm dating myself. I agree. This is prior to me getting married to my lovely wife. This is many, many, many. I was in the Navy. So. Our biggest issue. Well, okay. All right. Let me phrase this correctly.
He already started with before I was married
to my friend.
Right. This is before, back in the day, long time ago.
Right. Okay. Now so when I would approach women, almost every time they're like in groups. That in and of itself. Now, if you want to talk about intimidation, that could intimidate a man because you have to make the long walk across wherever it is because it all seems like it's about half mile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you walk to the girl. Hey, how you doing? Da da da. Their friends are listening. They're looking kind of weird, and you want to ask the girl out. You know, you think we could have some. You know, and if she says no, you're like, damn. Then you turn around, go all the way back, while both sides are laughing at you. You know, so a lot of guys don't want to do that. So,
I think they're gonna have to.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to take that risk. You're gonna have to because it's. And honestly, I think sometimes it's an attractive feature for a woman because it's like, oh, he was brave enough to come over here. You know, he's not like timid in a corner.
Yeah,
right.
You know,
that's true.
And you gotta take,
but you don't want to be overconfident either. Like. You know, like they come over to you and it's like, I don't know. You can tell how a person is. Like they expect you to say yes because you came over to them.
Yeah.
And you don't want that.
Well, don't you? Don't you want a little cockiness in your man? Just a little. Because
I you want don't want assuredness. Your man. Like I want like secureness, assuredness in yourself, but not like overconfidence.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this is a fine line. A lot of people call me arrogant at work. So, and I think. Really?
Okay, it was both reactions, though. It
was like, I can see that.
Oh, I am so disappointed in you.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm coming. My feelings are hurt.
It was both reactions.
Well, I was like, he gave me that look like, what?
Okay. You're like, oh, who would have said that? You know, so, but I think my personal opinion, I think it's healthy to have a little bit of overconfidence and confidence in, because what that does a lot of times is that makes your significant other feel more comfortable. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not talking about an unrealistic amount of arrogance and, like, mm-hmm. you know, I can fly, that sort of thing. But, yeah, don't worry about it, you know, because a lot of times, you know, well, I wouldn't say a lot of times, when someone's, like, upset and they're kind of, you know, they're very jittery about whatever's going on, he's like, hey. It's okay. Yeah. Now, he may not have any idea how he's going to handle that.
Yes.
Zero. But
like, fake it till you make it.
Right. It's going to be okay, baby. I'll take care of it. Mm-hmm. Well, how are you going to take care of it? Don't worry about it. Well, what are we going to do? Don't worry about it. Yep. You know what I'm saying? I will take care of it. And go sit down. You know?
Yeah.
So then you got to be on the computer trying to figure out what's going on, that sort of thing. But it happens, you know? But that is another role of the man, is to make sure your significant other, your family, is secure. Yes, ma'am.
I have a thought that's not related to this. I mean, it's related to dating, but it's not, like, related to this.
Go for it.
Okay. In terms of dating, like, one thing I value is relationships just in general and, like, connecting with people. So when I look at dating, I also see it of just a way of, like, connecting with individuals. So it's, like, there's that opportunity to... Even if they're not a believer, like, that is a great way, too, because you're able to, one, share the gospel with them, but also, like, create a friendship. And so it's like, okay, if things don't work out, at least I made a friend out of this.
Right.
So that's, like, a mindset I have when it comes to dating. So it's, I try, like, I'm very shy, but in terms of dating. But when I think of that more so now, because of, as I go deeper with Christ, it's like, it's not even about, it, you know, your intention was to maybe date this guy, but then it's like, he had better plans, like, God had better plans. So sure. That's a thought I had just now.
Oh, very good.
Just wanted to share.
That was a good thought.
Yeah.
It's hard. Dating as a Christian person is hard. I'm going to say it because as you were talking about, you know, at least it's a friend. Like, at least I'm meeting a friend, we're hanging out, but there's a whole nother side, you know, when you're dating, we're friends, but then, you know, people want, especially if they're not Christian, they want a little bit more than a friend, right? So as a Christian, you know, it gets awkward because it's like, okay, I like you. I like hanging out with you. We have a good friendship, but I think you guys know what I'm talking about. Like,
yes, I do. Yes.
Oh, you got to go.
No.
Oh.
I do in 7 minutes. but I'm so glad. Man. Okay. But let me say this. Okay.
Yes.
True story. Okay. Let's talk about sex and dating and being a Christian.
Yeah, let's talk about
that was going to be my next subject. But,
I know. I'm just dancing around it.
What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, no. We're about to get into that in 1 second.
That's what I was talking about. Yeah. They want a little bit more than a friend.
Right.
Wait a minute, I'm rethinking telling my transparent story.
That's too late.
Come on, Holy Spirit.
With it now.
Go ahead, Rex. You started it.
Okay. Okay, so the question is, okay, where does sex come in when you're dating as a Christian, right? And the reason why I'm asking this, I will share something personal. And does it matter, like, depending on, like, what age group you're in, right? Like, so say you're 40 or 50. 40 or 50 and dating, is sex allowable because you're so old, right? Versus being a 20, you know, 30 year old dating, you know, it's like a hard no. Like, no, I mean, in the Christian realm, of course, in Christian belief, like, no sex before marriage. So when is it allowed? What if you're 70, you know, like the Golden Bachelor, right? Because, you know, they got the overnight suite dates last week.
Yeah.
Okay. And, like, they're 70 and, you know, dating, and I believe a couple did do it.
Wow.
So is it acceptable if you're 70 and 80 and dating because you're likely going to die soon, right? So when does it become acceptable, if any? Now, true story. Have I dated someone as a believer and we had sex? Yes.
I'll be sure to put a sound effect in there.
Okay. Now, looking back on it, was it a mistake? Yes, right. And there's always forgiveness, and I did my penance. But the reason why I feel like the rules that God has set up for obedience are not there to make our lives miserable. It's because he knows that these are safeguards for us. And I remember the pastor at our faith, our local faith community.
Right.
He had done a relationships series, and it was about like safeguards or safe rails. And, you know, but it made me realize that God is so loving that he puts these rules in place to protect us, to protect our hearts and our emotions and our souls when they need protecting. Yeah. Because let me tell you something.
I'm in. I'm listening.
Sex is deep, right?
Yeah.
And it's so much more, and I know I'm stating the obvious, than the physical. Okay, well, okay, nope, can't say. Okay. Okay, keep it light. Your hose here, okay. And there's such a, what do you call it? I hate this word because it's so overused and people don't know how to use it correctly. But soul tie, when soul ties are created, like when it's not done in the correct
way,
it becomes perverse to where feelings are not, can be seen as something and they're not true. Like you feel like, because there's a difference. What happens is there's a difference between attachment and like being in love. And when you introduce sex into a relationship and it's out of order, you look at this attachment as this is a divine connection. No, it's an attachment because through that sexual connection, that soul tie, your thinking and your views are skewed. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it impairs your judgment. Yes. It impairs your judgment. It actually blinds you to a lot of red flags and everything, you know.
Absolutely. Like,
especially if it's good sex, you know. So, and Lord.
Okay.
But no, it's because that's why it's
thank God for our editor.
So,
sound effects.
Yeah. Yes, sex is a very potent tool, which is why it's supposed to be done in the within the confines of a marriage. So if you do go crazy, at least you go crazy for your spouse. You know what I'm saying? So, and it's a term that my wife always uses. She's like looking for you in the daylight with a flashlight, kind of thing. I don't know what that means, but it sounds really, really, you know, like, whatever, you know, like the I don't know what that means, but when she says it, I'm like, I get it. So, but my point is that, you know, that kind of experience happening outside of marriage is where you have a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. That's where you know, and I hate to say it, that's why, you know, some people are going out there slashing tires and busting windows and stuff like that because their mental state is out of whack. When it came to that relationship, it's just, I've seen it too many times. And I keep telling guys, I was like, look, if this is what you're going to do, you can't do it like that to every woman, you know? So.
And loopholes, like the loopholes in sex, like.
Mm-hmm.
Loopholes?
Like, what is it called?
I don't know. But I'm very curious. What's a, like a.
Like oral sex.
Oh, how are we defining sex?
Like, is that really sex if it's just oral?
I think that's also important, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
So Jay's going to wrap us up because we're not continuing this conversation without me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's going to have to be a part two to this. I'm so sorry, but we're going to have to wrap up the end of the show. But we will continue on and hopefully... Well, for you, it should be in a few moments, but for us, it'll be a couple of weeks. Right. But this is the week before Thanksgiving. You guys have a safe one. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Bye.
Western Christianity. Western Christianity.
Christianity.